with passion and drama. Well, it's a delight to be with you here this morning. And I got a phone call from Jeff yesterday afternoon. There we go, how's that? And I can see you guys here as easily as I can see these guys over here. As the little darlings leave us for Sunday school. So Jeff called me yesterday afternoon and he said, you're on. So here we are. Well, it's nice to be here. And this patch on my face, they took a little mole off. The doctor took a wee mole off this week. So this patch has to stay on until they're ready to take out the stitch. So that's all it is. Genesis 40. I've entitled the message this morning, I Will Never Leave You. I Will Never Leave You. The story of Joseph can be summed up by pit, Potiphar, prison, and palace. I'm quite partial to peas myself. So pit, Potiphar, prison, palace works for me. And in Joseph's life, you have these ups and downs that go on for him. And he goes down into the pit, up to Potiphar's place, down into the prison, and up to the palace. And in all these ups and downs of his life, God never left him. In fact, in chapter 39, in the previous chapter, we're told five times that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, five times is a lot for one chapter. It's almost like the Holy Spirit has a message for the reader of that chapter, and the message is, the Lord will never leave you. Hence, in this chapter, we're going to see some evidence of that. Now, the most striking thing about chapter 40 are the dreams. It's a chapter all about dreams. And this is not the first time we encounter dreams in the life of Joseph. Do you remember back in the chapter 37, we first encountered dreams when Joseph was a young boy at home with his father. Now, it's not unusual for young men to dream dreams. Young men dream dreams for all kinds of reasons, for all kinds of things. And Joseph dreamed a dream that had all his older brothers bowing down to him. Now, I have three older brothers, and when I was a little kid, I really liked the story of Joseph, particularly the dream part of his story, because I could really go for that, having my brothers bowing down to me. That would work. that would give a whole lift to my miserable life as the youngest boy in a family of five. So I felt very partial towards Joseph. And Joseph was not only had this dream, but he was able to interpret his dream much to the annoyance of his family. They got ticked off with him right royally. But you see, these dreams had been given to Joseph by God. God gave him the dream, and God gave him the interpretation of the dreams. So you see, Joseph was like one of the prophets of old who received a message from the Lord by way of a dream, and then passed this message on to those for whom it was intended. In this case, his father and his brothers, and in chapter 40, for the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Now, we all have dreams. We all have dreams. And sometimes we wonder about the meaning of our dreams. Sometimes we have very vivid dreams, we kind of dreams that wake us up in the middle of the night. Or we wake up in the morning aware that we have dreamed some pretty significant dreams. But then we come to try to talk about them at breakfast time, and they just kind of disappear in the talking of them, and it all sounds rather nebulous and even a little bit silly, really. And so often we tend to keep our dreams to ourselves and not tell anybody. What should be our attitude to dreams and dream interpretation? Should we read books on dream interpretation? Should we Google our dream and see what the internet has to say about our dream? is there any significance to our dreams? Should we try to figure out the meaning of our dreams? Is God trying to speak to us in our dreams? Is he trying to tell us a message and we better figure it out real quick because maybe it's important? Well, on that particular question, the opening verses of the book of Hebrews can be a great help to us. Thanks, Jim. So, the first two verses of the book of Hebrews up here. I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes looking at these verses, and then we'll get back to Joseph. But this will really help us as we think about the way God speaks to us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews uses this as an introduction to everything he's about to say. But what he does is he looks back on history, he divides history into two parts, past days and last days. And he's talking about the way God communicates, the way God reveals himself, the way God reveals his word to his people over the generations, past days and last days. And this is how he characterizes past days revelation. Through the prophets, many times and in various ways. Many times. Well, God revealed his word to Abraham and to Noah and to Adam and to Moses and to David and to the prophets. You see, many times, if you draw a timeline of Old Testament history, many times God spoke. And he spoke through many different prophets. But it also says in that verse that he spoke in many different ways. He spoke with an audible voice. Remember, Samuel heard God call out to him by name. God spoke through dreams, like to Joseph. God spoke through visions. God spoke through the priest who would roll a dice on the ground. God spoke to Gideon through fleece and dry fleece and a wet fleece. And many different ways, you see, God spoke. So many times, different times, and in many different ways, God's word came in the past days. Verse 2 begins with a but. There's a contrast here, not only between past days and last days, but a contrast between the way God spoke in the past days and the way he speaks in the last days. So, in the past days, many different times, many different ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And the Son is characterized here as the one who is heir of all things, and it's not up there, but there it is, through whom he made the universe. So, now that couldn't be said of any of those prophets in past days that they had made the universe. Okay, so this is setting the Son apart as being far superior, and the next two chapters of Hebrews goes to great length to tell us about how the Son was superior in every way. Now, what is the dividing line between past days and last days? Where do we cross over between past days and last days? What demarcates past days from last days? And the answer is the Son speaking. When the Son spoke, when Jesus came and spoke word of God, suddenly we were in last days. We've been in last days for 2,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day in the Lord's sight. And the reason that, and what characterizes the last days is that we have the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, so we no longer need many prophets, many times, and many different ways. We don't need dreams anymore because we have Jesus. Do you remember that occasion in the Gospels when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain? And there he was clothed in the glory he had with God before he came to earth. And there on the mountain was Moses and Elijah. And they were talking. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus were talking. Now you might ask yourself, well, of all the characters in the Old Testament, why would Jesus pick those two to talk to on that mountain? Why not David? He was a pretty cool guy. You know, why not Adam? Be great to see Adam, wouldn't it? Say, Adam, why did you do it? Why did you do it? You see? But it was Moses and Elijah. Why are Moses and Elijah? Well, Moses and Elijah represented something about the way God spoke in the past days. They were past days prophets, you see. And Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And you bring those two together, the law and the prophets, and you have the whole of the Old Testament, past days revelation. And then God speaks. God spoke, didn't he, on that mountain. And God said, in effect, in the past days you had Moses and Elijah, you had the law and the prophets, but now you have my son. Listen to him. Listen to him. You have been listening to Moses and the prophets, and that's good. But now, last day's revelation, listen to my son, because this one standing here is the one who made the universe, the one who is clothed in my glory from time immortal in the past. Listen to him. His word supersedes all previous word. His word brings to fulfillment all previous word. His word is the final word. After him, no more different ways, no more different times. We're in the last days. Here's a word for the last days. Here's a prophet for the last days. This is my son. Listen to him. So you have a dream. What does my dream mean? Listen to the son. See? It's not complicated, is it? Listen to the son. Some person comes to you and says, well, look, you know, I've had a word from God and I've been a prophet that's been raised up. Listen to the son. This is my son. Listen to him. And praise God, Jesus is up in heaven. But that's okay. He has left us his word right here. Here it is. Here it is. And the Spirit of Jesus inspired this word. From Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit of Jesus has illuminated this word to God's people. The Spirit of Jesus has preserved this word. And so if you want to listen to the Son, here's his word right here on the rice pages in black and white. Isn't that fantastic? Praise God. So the whole Bible is for us God's word from his Son, Jesus, to us. But even there, you see, as we look at these words in the Bible, there's an historical progression from past days to last days. And in these last days, we have God's revelation made final and complete and a fulfillment of all that has gone before. So, that makes life very easy and uncomplicated for us. By this Bible, we measure and evaluate any form of revelation that might come to us today. We have a dream. What does the dream mean? Well, we go to the Bible for the interpretation of that dream. Listen to the Son. The Spirit of Jesus will take the words of Jesus and impact it on the hearts of the people of Jesus, you and me. A child wakes up in the night, frightened by a scary dream. We need to take that dream captive and bring it into submission to the feet of Jesus. So what do? We don't tell the child there aren't any monsters. That child knows the world is full of monsters. He just dreamt about some. So we pray with the child. And we teach the child to pray. To pray that God would banish from their sleep all that is not of Jesus. That God would banish the prince of darkness from the hours of darkness so our child can sleep in the peace in the arms of Jesus. Teach them to pray that. You see, we're listening to the Son. We're listening to the Son. And the Son says, I have conquered the darkness. I am the light in a dark place. Lord, bring that light into the heart and mind of my child while he sleeps. Let the scriptures, you see, have the final, complete, and authoritative word in all matters of revelation. So a friend comes to you and he says, she says, God told me such and such. Listen to the Son. So the first thing you say to your friend is, is what God told you in the Bible? And if it is, then your friend does not need any other form of revelation. The Bible is sufficient. However, if it's not in the Bible, then you can tell your friend with full confidence to ignore it, since the Bible is a complete and final word from God's Son for last days people. And we are last days people. You see, he has never left us without a word to instruct us, encourage us, direct us, and guide us. I will never leave you. Praise God. Let's go back to Joseph in Genesis 40. Genesis 40, verse 1. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt defended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Now we know from chapter 39, verse 1, that Potiphar was the captain of the guard. So those Potiphar's name is not mentioned here in verse 40. You see, the Potiphar had a lot to do with Joseph in chapter 40. Even in prison, Joseph was under Potiphar's direct control, and Potiphar put Joseph in charge of the palace prisoners. So Joseph was in Potiphar's prison with palace prisoners who had been Pharaoh's people. Do you like that? Try saying that fast 30 times. Joseph was in Potiphar's prison with palace prisoners who had been Pharaoh's people. And among the palace prisoners was Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. They had both offended the king in some way, and were both now in prison with Joseph and placed under Joseph's care. After they'd been there for a while, God gave them both a dream in the same night. Now, these men lived in a culture where apparently they were used to having dreams interpreted. Look in chapter 41, for instance, in verse 8, when Pharaoh had a dream. In the morning, Pharaoh's mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dream, but no one could interpret them for him. So apparently, dream interpretation was a big deal in Egypt in that time, and there were people around who could interpret dreams, supposedly, and who you would go to. So these two men in prison had a dream, and they were concerned that there was no one in the prison to interpret their dream for them. See that in chapter 40, verse 8. We both had dreams, they answered, but there was no one to interpret them. There were no magicians or wise men in the prison. You see, in chapter 41, verse 8, the magicians and wise men were caught on, and Pharaoh said, come interpret my dream. But these two guys, you've got to feel sorry for them. They're in jail. There's no magicians or wise men to interpret their dreams, and they're very concerned about that, because these dreams are quite powerful dreams. But verse 8 goes on, and Joseph said to them, does not interpretation belong to God? Tell me your dreams, you see. There was a wise man in prison, wasn't there? There was a wise man. A man who had access to the Word of God, past days revelation. Joseph knew all about dreams. He had experience with dreams, and he was quite certain that God alone was the interpreter of dreams. So Joseph was able to bring the Word of God right into the prison and into the lives of these two men. So they told Joseph their dream, and immediately Joseph was able to answer. You see that? Verse 12. This is what it means, Joseph said to him. None of this. Look, let me just go away and spend the night praying. I'll give you an answer in the morning. See? Bang! Immediately. Here's the dream. Here's the interpretation. Joseph was a prophet, you see. God had spoken to Joseph through this dream, just like he'd spoken to Joseph through the dreams when he was a boy. And the interpretation was very specific. You notice that? Right down to the very detail of each dream. And that's why the account goes to some length to give us the details of the dream and the details of the interpretation, so that we can see how accurate and powerful God's word was. No ifs, no buts, no maybes, no ambiguity, no confusion, no doubt, no delay. God's word was right there, immediate. Simply, directly, and clearly spelt out. You see, when God speaks to us in his word, there need be no misunderstanding as to what he's saying to us. It's very clear. In fact, Joseph was so sure that of God's word that he asked the cupbearer to remember him when he was restored to Pharaoh's favor in verse 14. But when all goes well with you, see, Joseph was quite sure that what he had prophesied was going to come true. This is a certainty about God's word. When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness and mention me to Pharaoh to get me out of this prison. Well, within 3 days, all was fulfilled, just as Joseph had predicted and prophesied. One man was executed under the king's orders. The other man was restored back to his previous position. But there's a human dimension in all of this, isn't there? In verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. You see, the difficulty with Joseph's request is that it relied on the cooperation of another, one who has little reason to care what happens to Joseph. You can imagine the cupbearer, having been restored to the king's favor, is not going to risk the king's displeasure by advocating on Joseph's behalf. But when the king is in need of someone to interpret his dream, then to mention Joseph would be in the cupbearer's interests. But for Joseph, there's only a growing realization as the days turn to weeks and into years, the cupbearer has forgotten all about him. In fact, it would be another 2 long years before there was any change in Joseph's situation. We know that from chapter 41, verse 1. Well, the cupbearer had forgotten about Joseph, but God had not forgotten about Joseph. See how much harder our life is when we're dependent on sinful people to make our lives work. Sinful people let us down all the time. You see, we were created to be married to a perfect spouse. Adam's got a lot to answer for, hasn't he? People let us down all the time. They forget about us. They put their own interests ahead of ours. And you know, I could manage my life as a pain-free life if only I could get all the people in my life around me to do what I wanted. My life would be pain-free. That's what we tell ourselves, don't we? And so we go to great lengths to try to manipulate the people around us, coerce them into doing what we want. For instance, you see, if it was in my hands to direct the course of Joseph's life, how would I do it differently? How would I write the story of Joseph? Well, I would have had Potiphar to be the one to have the dream, or someone in his household. And Joseph, who worked in Potiphar's household, would interpret the dream for them, and it would come true in such amazing detail that Potiphar would have been the one to tell the king about Joseph when the king himself had a dream that needed interpreting. Then Joseph could have gone straight from Potiphar's house to the king's palace and missed out the prison bit altogether. Wouldn't that be a whole lot better? But here is mystery for us. There's mystery for us and there's mystery for Joseph. Why did he have to go through the prison experience? He had been told 5 times in the previous chapter the Lord was with him. Now he was languishing in this prison for 2 years. Everyone had forgotten about him. What was God doing? There was mystery there for Joseph. What more was there for him to learn or understand? He did not know already. Now, my friends, God does not tell us everything about his purposes. But he does tell us everything we need to know. How tough would it have been for Joseph to have been forgotten about by the person he looked to for help? Who is Joseph going to trust? Is he going to trust the Lord, or is he going to trust the king's cupbearer? Well, God gave Joseph 2 years to ponder that question. Is that your experience, that the people that you have looked to for help have let you down? We are so powerless to change the hearts and the minds of the people in our life who have so much influence on how our life turns out. So who are we going to trust? I cannot rewrite my own story, past, present, or future, in order to make it less painful or easier to bear. God has already written my story, and it will all come to pass just as he purposes. I must relate to God on his terms. I can't relate to God on my terms. So what can I do? What can I do? Well, I can develop a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through Bible reading, study, and prayer. In order to develop an ever closer walk with the Lord every day, then when the unexpected comes, when the injustice comes, when the bad news comes, when I'm forgotten about and let down by the very ones I've looked to for help, then it will be my experience of the Lord's love and grace and care for me that will sustain me and give me hope and courage. Do you listen to him? That's what it did for Joseph. His walk with God gave him encouragement to hang in there until God's purposes came to pass. And his trust in God resulted in a testimony to unbelief that he could never have imagined. This is what Pharaoh said about Joseph in chapter 41, verse 38. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" How's that for a testimony to unbelievers? Is that what in your workplace, is that what they say about you? Can we find anyone like this person, one in whom is the Spirit of God? What a testimony for one who trusts God and listens to the Son. Well, let me just finish up here. So today, things might be going well for you, or they may not be going well for you. You may have come in here this morning burdened down with the reality of living life in a fallen world. Regardless of whether things are going well for you or not going well for you, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what will bring you through. Are you talking to him every day in personal prayer? Are you listening to him every day as you read the Bible? If so, then your confidence in his perfect love for you will grow, and his perfect love will overwhelm all of life's circumstances. So tell him about your fears and anxieties. Tell him about your hopes and dreams. Tell him about your failures, sin, and guilt. Hold nothing back. He is all power and all love, and he will never leave you. So this morning, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. And when you do that, when by faith you reach out and you place your hand in the hand of Jesus, what will you feel? What will you feel when you do that? Remember Thomas? Thomas was standing there before the resurrected Jesus, and Jesus held out his hand like this to Thomas. He said, "Thomas, put your hand in my hand." The man who stilled the water, the man who calmed the sea. "Put your hand in my hand." Now, if Thomas went ahead and did that, what did Thomas feel when he put his hand in the hand of Jesus? What did he feel? He felt the scars of the cross. So, here's my little warning to you. If you put your hand in the hand of Jesus this morning, you're going to feel the scars of the cross. And as you walk with him hand in hand through every day, you will have a constant, minute by minute, moment by moment reminder of all that he went through so that he could walk with you every day and forgive your sins and restore in you the joy of your salvation through hard times. Because the man from Galilee is the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins and rose again that his righteousness might become your righteousness. And so we lay at his feet all that we are experiencing, all that we are going through. Are you reading your Bible every day? Husbands and wives, are you doing this with each other and with your children? Your children must grow up knowing and experiencing that the Bible and prayer and God himself is real to you, their parents. I suggest you begin with John's Gospel. Just read a few verses and then talk about what they mean to you, then together pray those thoughts back to Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to the Son. Talk to the Son. You can't have a personal relationship with your dreams, but you can have a personal relationship with the Son who speaks. And watch your relationship with Jesus grow and blossom beyond all you could imagine, and your confidence in his faithful presence with you will grow through it all as his life becomes more and more your life. As through the Bible he speaks to you, as through prayer you speak to him every day. And as his life becomes more your life, the testimony that you have will go before you. Can we find anyone like this man, this woman, this young person, in whom is the Spirit of God? Praise God for the Son. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that what is most important for us to know is most plain and clear in the Scriptures. Father, we thank you. We thank you that in Jesus Christ we have a sure word of testimony and of revelation. We thank you that in Jesus Christ and the word that he has inspired and left with us, we can encounter the Lord Jesus every day, and our relationship with him will grow, and he will be with us, never leave us for the trials of life. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your goodness and your graciousness to us. We pray this morning that you will forgive our sins. We pray this morning that you will once again fill us with the righteousness of Jesus and the glory of his Spirit. We ask these things in his holy and precious name. Amen.